Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 306. We have the Think Tank coming up in exactly 1 hour from now. Alvin Reed and Kurt Barr will be here. Dave Murray, dumbass, will be here at 3:30. I guess we have some sort of a contract with him or something we can't get out of. I don't know. It's for the boys in the truck. Stairway to Kevin.
All right. So we talked a lot about Ohtani, and I don't mean to be too sportsy today, but this is a really... this is a big story. Did you catch the Jontay Porter NBA story?
Did not.
So do you remember Jontay Porter?
I do.
Younger brother of Michael Porter Jr., played at Mizzou, big deal, huge recruit, all of that. He is being investigated by the NBA for what's essentially a version of point shaving. Like, not necessarily point spread, win or lose games, but like... and again, this is not proven. I want to be very clear. This is not a proven thing. This is what's being investigated, but the NBA is investigating it, which means they have evidence. Because if it was nothing, they're going to be like, guys, this is nothing. So there's something that they're investigating.
Because they don't want it to be something.
What's happened is they found these weird days where there were really big bets and a lot and very successful popular bets on the various betting apps for the under on his statistical line, on his stat line. So like the under on points scored for him or the under on the number of three-pointers he's going to make on a given day. And they found that on some of these days where it was like the most popular and most successful bet, something mysterious happened in the game where, oh, Jontay's eye's bothering him, so he's leaving the game and not coming back. And obviously playing 2 minutes, you're going to be under everything. And the only way, and it just doesn't make sense because he's not a significant enough player where you would think that that player gets a ton of action on the over-under.
Yeah.
But there's some really, I guess the best way to put it is there's some suspicious patterns that they're looking at. And I'm just bringing this up because you throw this in with the Ohtani thing and people are talking about the connections that now these sports leagues have with gambling entities. I wanted to bring up to you guys whether or not that as a concern to you. Like, do you think it's at all problematic or leading to some of these problems? Because I have a very, I don't know that it's definitely not a popular take, but I have a very strong take about how this relationship works between gambling and sports.
Let's hear it. I want to hear yours.
So the worry people always have is that when you have these relationships, you're blurring the lines and players can't tell the difference. And I think that's idiotic. That's like saying you can't tell the difference between drinking and driving and not. Like, you can have the ability to drive and the ability to drink and not do them together. And everybody understands that. They're not children. They're grown people who make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And if they're dumb enough to blur that line, they know what they're doing. This is there's no connection to these two things. You can't say, well, you allow gambling now or you take sponsorship money and then get mad at people for breaking the rules. No. They still have rules they have to follow. It's very clear. You cannot bet on anything related to your sport ever. And you cannot bet on anything illegally. It's easy. There's no hypocrisy. There's no blurred line. There's nothing. It's very simple. Because the money that's coming in from those gambling outlets, right? People are always doing the teams get all this money and the players can't even make money betting. No, they get half of all revenue. The players get half of all revenue. So whatever revenue is coming in, they get half. They're getting their end from those agreements. But I'm just curious how you guys perceive the dynamic of the gambling companies being major sponsors for sports and being more normalized as opposed to in the past when it was illegal, you didn't talk about it.
The only addendum I would add to your opinion, because I pretty much agree with you, is that when you immerse the two together, you should expect it to happen more, but that doesn't make it right.
And it doesn't mean you need to stop.
No.
Right? Because people drink and drive doesn't mean we need to stop selling alcohol.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if it did mean that, we would stop selling alcohol.
If every guy went to the East Side three times a week, more guys are going to hook up with strippers. Doesn't mean you have to or that you should.
Right.
So if you immerse gambling into the world of sports, it's always been there. But now where everything is sponsored by FanDuel or DraftKings, can you probably predict that you're going to have more players partake in it in some way? Yeah. Doesn't mean that they should, and doesn't mean that they should be given a break.
Is there anything to be said for the fact that it, like you said, it's infiltrating their business? So it's not, I don't know if I agree with the East Side analogy that much, because you're kind of,
I just want to say East Side.
Yeah. You're making the choice to get in the Uber and, you know, at 2 a.m. and go over there. But what if there was a strip club in the first floor of this building? And then it was like, okay, well, we end up going to the strip club a lot more because it's right there.
Dinner
where
would be
I
right
work.
Next to KFC.
Yes, yeah. It would. That's an interesting concept. But I mean, is there anything to be said for that? Like, yeah, they're making it really, really tempting.
Yes and no. I mean, yes.
Because gambling is a thing that people struggle with, just like they do drugs and alcohol.
Here's the thing, though. Like, with all of this being upfront and legal, that means it's being monitored. It's being monitored by DraftKings and FanDuel and by Vegas. The casinos in Vegas monitor. How do you think this came up? Because those companies saw a weird pattern. Mm-hmm. They saw something like that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So, yes, with this exposure, you might have that little bit of, I don't know, maybe it's just a generational thing. Like, you come up with it being normal and you just think it's normal. But your odds of getting caught are much greater when everything is up front and above board. Right? I mean, like, Vegas monitors this stuff. These companies monitor it. And the league works with those entities. All leagues work with those entities to monitor for strange things, for patterns that don't make sense, which is how this kind of thing gets caught. Because somebody at a company said, dude, this is weird. Mm-hmm. This is weird that on these days where Jonte Porter has a lot of action on the under, he's leaving the game in the first quarter. He's not taking any shots that day or whatever. Like, they're noticing these things. And I think that in the past, that right there could have happened and nobody would have ever noticed, because the action would have been illegal for the most part. It would have been people that are doing it on the down low with bookies, and it wouldn't be as clear as day, which is why these things are things that get found out. But again, it still comes back to, does the relationship of a league with a sponsor that is related to gambling in any way conflict with the idea that players shouldn't bet on their own sport? And it doesn't. And
so stupid. And like Rach said, and it's a good point, that gambling is one of those things that people have seemingly,
addiction.
It's why I like the alcohol analogy.
Yeah.
Because people are alcoholics, right?
But it's so galactically stupid when you throw away probably a tens of millions of dollars career to make what? An extra few hundred grand?
Well, that's the other point that people tend to, when they talk about this topic, like, yeah, I mean, like, this is one of the reasons why I don't believe that Ohtani was betting on baseball. Because he may not know American laws, but everybody in baseball knows that you can't bet on your own sport. It's in every clubhouse. It's been made clear to them. You're going to throw away $700 million for the risk of betting on sports.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I guess it's possible, because people do throw away careers. I mean, we're talking about what's going on with Diddy. I mean, the guy's probably got $1 billion and he might have been doing some things that are going to cost him all of it. But yeah, I think that that's a pretty good point, Dave. Like, when you're making millions, why would you risk for thousands or hundreds of thousands? Or why would you risk 12 years left of making millions for a few million now?
Yeah. I agree.
Doesn't mean they don't do it. I mean, he may have done it. We don't know yet whether Jonte Porter did anything wrong. We just know that he's being investigated.
And if he didn't, that's sad.
What? That it's like newsworthy?
Yeah.
I mean.
He could have just had a bad eye. Probably didn't, because guys are pretty good at what they do.
It could be. I mean, obviously there's a chance that it's a coincidence. It's just weird when a player who's really a part-time fringy player that doesn't play much gets a lot of action, and on those days where there's a lot of action, just so happens that something comes up.
Didn't play so well. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. It's always good to have musicians in. Jay Chambers, you'll remember Jay from New World Spirits, one of the best bands to come out of St. Louis. Walter Parks, who's with us today, and special guest Posey Lou will be playing tomorrow at City Winery, 7:30 p.m. Jay and I are just going down memory lane, talking about how fortunate we were, because I was playing in bands back then, but I was mostly filling in. I was never with a big band in St. Louis, but I was at the Landing every weekend, going from seeing you guys to Pale Divine to Swab Octopus to Stir. We got to live that. Yeah. That was amazing.
It was pretty special. It was a special time. And you know what? Really, more than anything, it's just a real testament, whether it's that decade or this one, there's just St. Louis has got great, great bands and great live music.
Always.
And you know, I just love people are very out and supporting it on a regular basis.
In my day, I grew up on the east side in South Roxana. If you needed a soccer player or a musician, you went to South County or Granite City.
There you go.
Right? That's
there
like that's where they all were.
For sure.
Go to Dutchtown, swing a dead cat. You're going to hit a guitarist.
I love it.
Introduce Walter, please.
Walter, oh gosh. Well, Walter, I met through my mentor, my boss, who actually, I always say this, I got so lucky that I'm a musician, and I ran into this writer guy that had an advertising agency, and he took a chance on me, and the whole trajectory of my life changed. But that's how I met Walter. Walter and Tom were in a high school band together. I can maybe let you tell the story better than I, but just an incredible musician from Jacksonville. Richie Havens, guitar player.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Thank you, Jay, and thanks, Dave, for having
us. You are very welcome.
Yeah, it's... Although I'm an outsider of, in a certain sense, from St. Louis, I married a St. Louis woman. I met her in New York City, and she took me back to St. Louis. So I've been coming around here for 20 years, and I love it. It's a great music town, as you guys are talking about. I love St. Louis. I came here. I played here before I even lived here, and so it's really always kind of is an honor to be back here.
It's good to know we have a good reputation.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't know that St. Louis is so cool in terms of music, and you know, it's what the heck? You have a hockey team named the Blues.
Right.
You know, if that doesn't tell you where your hearts and souls are in that sense. Tom Townsend, as Jay was referring to, ran an ad agency that he started with Tim Rogers, and Tom Townsend is our mutual friend. He was Jay's mentor, and Tom Townsend grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, where I grew up. Another great music.
You better believe it. 38 Special, all those guys.
And Leonard Skinner.
Yeah.
And so Tom and I loved all that music. And Tom moved here. That one of his magnetizing forces for moving here was the sort of blues and ragtime piano playing that Tom always had in his soul. And he wanted to get to this area, and he found a job here. So
That's
he started
cool.
a whole reality. So anyway, Tom was my boyhood friend. And just by happenstance, Tom brought us together. So here we are playing a gig together.
Happy accidents. I love it.
Yeah.
So the show's tomorrow night, City Winery, 7:30 p.m. What do people do? They show up? They get tickets?
Yeah, show up and or get tickets. I think it goes both ways. From what we've heard so far, it's a great reaction.
Yeah,
so,
good.
I know for me personally, a lot of my people are just kind of show up at the end, you know, so yeah, either way though, but yeah, grab tickets and, Walter and I think we're going to do kind of a back and forth kind of thing.
Cool.
Cause we're kind of co-headlining the show and we don't want to, you know, make it just like all this and all that. So we're kind of going to bounce back and forth a little
bit.
And then of course with Posey, you can speak to her better than I can, Walter, but, just a great young talent.
Good.
Yeah.
What are we going to play today?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to figure it out as soon as I go. Am I going?
Yeah,
you're
take
on.
Take it off.
All right.
Yeah,
let's
do it.
Okay. Seen the color red since maybe last night in my head, or maybe in your eyes. I've only seen one kind of green since maybe I was 17, and it's the kind of green that's in my eyes. And all that I can see from where I am It's getting hard to be from where I am. And all that I can see are colors in blue and black and white. And lately I've seen blue. It's usually when I'm thinking of you. And I've seen black, and I've seen white, and white is followed by the night, and night is black and blue. That I can see from where I am. It's getting hard to be from where I am when all that I can see are colors in blue and black and white. And blue and black and white. And blue and black and white. Black and white, and blue and 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 black and white.
Wow.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Woo, that's good. I can't, I've only sang on the radio one time. It's amazing. You're a professional, but it's amazing. You just walk in and go like, hey, how you doing? Got any bubblegum? Bam. And you just go into it. God, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Tasty licks. Tasty licks.
Thank you very much.
So tomorrow night, that's Jay Chambers. You guys probably know him from New World Spirits, Walter Parks, Posey Lou. They're all going to be at City Winery tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m. You can get tickets. You can just show up, especially if you're one of Jay's dirtbag friends who's going to show up late. I may come out to this. That was really, really cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for having us.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 337 Wheels. Did you get to hear the music?
That was really good.
Really cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was in talking to Beth, and we were turning it up in there like, man.
Yeah.
I'm missing out.
It was really nice.
I didn't really miss out. I got to hear it, but,
and they never played that together before.
Wow.
It's like, don't dunk on me, man.
Come on, seriously?
Jeez, just say you practiced that for the last 2 weeks or something.
Yeah. At least pretend it was hard.
Yeah, Dave Murray joined us. Hey, Dave.
Hi there. I did hear it. Very, very good.
Yeah, really cool.
And I just second your comment that you can just walk in to a place like your studio and just, oh, you want me to play something? Sure. Okay.
Well, I had never met Walter before, and Jimmy Griffin just texted me and just said, Walter rules. So if Jimmy Griffin thinks that,
that's all the endorsement you need.
Dave, what are we looking like?
Well, we're back down again, obviously, with the temperatures 29 for the overnight low tonight. Ooh. So a light frost and freeze away from the city. City probably only gets to 34, maybe 35 degrees with a slow clearing process. Chilly day on Wednesday, 52 degrees, 30 degrees Wednesday night. So again, another shot of a light frost and freeze. 65, though, Thursday afternoon with plenty of sunshine, cold start. Friday, Good Friday, sunshine 72. Saturday, boy, it looks perfect. Partly sunny, 75. Easter Sunday, partly sunny. Maybe a spot shower or spot thunderstorm, but I think most of the day is dry. 70 degrees. Sunrise on Easter Sunday is 6:48. A little more unsettled as we get into next week. There's a huge storm system developing along the West Coast, and that will come into play next week for us.
Okay. Are we ready to talk Easter at all yet, Dave?
Yeah, I just did.
Well, what'd you say?
I could play music anytime. partly sunny. Maybe a spot shower or thunder shower, but I think most of the day is dry. 70 degrees for the high. That would be great.
Isn't it good Friday that's supposed to always be rainy? Is that like
we've had a lot of bad stuff on Good Friday weather-wise, including a major tornado outbreak.
Yeah,
but yeah, this Friday looks really good and quiet.
Other than Joplin, which is obviously not St. Louis, what is our worst weather you remember? Could be tornadoes, could be straight line winds.
Well, the Good Friday storm was pretty impressive. The flood of 93, obviously. Yeah. The blizzard of 82, unbelievable. Those are the two that really come into mind.
Yeah, I don't know why 93 didn't pop into my head, but yeah, that was epic. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, the cost of dating in 2024 is stressing people out. According to a new survey by Self Financial, 69% of American adults felt uneasy about the cost of a date, while almost 68% expressed anxiety about managing expenses while planning the date. So young people are dating less because it's too expensive.
Jeez, wow.
Are they just not going to the movies and stuff?
I think
Although that's pretty expensive.
Pretty pricey.
Yeah, that's the expensive.
I mean, anything other than a coffee date. If you go to dinner, that's expensive. If you go to the movies,
that's a good point.
Just go on a nice walk whenever it's a nice weather day. Listen to the DGS at 3:30, get the forecast, and then plan your dates accordingly. All right, this is pretty cool. Jersey Mike's is donating all of their sales to local charities on March 27th. So tomorrow, it's their 14th annual day of giving on Wednesday, and they donate all of their sales to local charities. More than 100 shops nationwide will be participating in the event. So I just thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
Jersey Mike's are good, too.
Maybe we should have a good sub for lunch tomorrow.
That sounds good.
Good idea.
I've never had it before.
Yep, very good. Mind.
Biden is gaining ground in a new poll. This is from Bloomberg News and Morning Consult. Poll of viewers in several pivotal swing states shows Biden gaining ground on former President Donald Trump after months of lagging behind. The race is tightening with the former president at 47% and Biden is at 43%. So, you know, he's still not beating Trump, but it's tightening a little bit. He got a bump from his State of the Union speech. Which, we're such simple creatures, aren't we? It's like oh.
He said good words.
I saw him talk.
Look at that.
Yeah, maybe I'll vote for him.
You know what, though? I have to check myself because I am very confident in my opinions and feelings about Donald Trump. But almost exactly half the nation is going to vote for him. So I have to treat it with more respect than I do. At least... on the air dealing with people. And that's not to say I'm just going to fake it. It's just to say that, okay, well, if there's anything in the world that 50% of people believe in that I don't, I can't just crap on it.
Easy to forget. You got to take it seriously.
You really do.
Yeah. Yes, Wheels.
No, I was.
No, go ahead.
What I was going to say was essentially we're only talking about a certain percentage of the people who actually decide to participate.
That's true.
Because less than 50% participate. So I have no idea what percentage of people support Biden versus support Trump versus any of it. We just only about the people that actually decide to join the rest of us in paying attention to things.
Yeah, wouldn't it be wild if everybody, not had to vote,
if everyone did vote?
Yeah.
What if we just said, I know I've said this before, what if we just said, we're going to give you a nice little tax break, little tax credit if you vote? I'm not going to give you money, but we're going to give you a $200 tax credit. You get $200 off your next tax filing. Yeah.
Or how about the day off?
I'm down with it.
We'll give you the day off.
I think that's good.
But you have to vote.
Yes, you have to vote.
Yeah, I do understand why some people don't. Look, if you're an hourly worker and you're scheduled to vote on election day, if you don't work, you don't get paid.
Right.
So that's a tough thing to tell somebody. Yeah, guess what? You shouldn't get paid. That's why if you may get a holiday...
Yeah, we have some pretty dumb holidays. I mean, I think Election Day is a pretty good one.
Yeah, but we'd have to make it so that if you take time off of work, you're not penalized.
Total.
Because that's, or make it just more than one day, God forbid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It already takes a week because of the way it's done, so why not take 3 days? If you can take one of those days and find a way, let's go.
So speaking of former President Trump, he's having a good day. His net worth has doubled. He merged his social media company, Trump Media and Technology Group, with Digital World Acquisition Corp. So he took ownership of 58% of DWAC, which is going to begin trading under the ticket DJT on Tuesday. So, yeah, he's now among the 500 richest people per Bloomberg. Raised his net worth to $6.5 billion.
Isn't it weird? That stock is basically him. It's even DJT.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got a stock.
I don't think he can touch that for 6 months, though.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
You're correct, Dave.
But boy, in 6 months, that makes everything good if your stock is still high.
Chick-fil-A is dropping their pledge of no antibiotics ever in their chicken. It will shift to no antibiotics important to human
sometimes.
Medicine. Yeah. But it's just become much harder to acquire chicken that has no antibiotics. So they're just throwing in the towel.
Okay.
It happens. Literally anybody else is running for president. A Texas candidate has changed his name to literally anybody else and is hoping for write-ins.
He'll get them.
He says, this isn't about me, more so as it is an idea. We can do better out of 300 million people for president.
Yeah, good for anybody. For literally, I guess is his first name.
Yep.
And my final story here, an infamous Titanic prop sells for $720,000. It's the wooden slab that Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, well, just Kate Winslet, really.
Yeah.
Leo didn't get on
Leo didn't
to
make it.
Thank God.
Floated on at the end of the film. I can't believe that number. $720,000.
Right, that's the movie prop, right? This is not an actual piece
Correct.
From the...
It's from the movie.
I have a few other of those.
Wow.
From the same deal. Tobey Maguire's black symbiote suit from Spider-Man went for $125,000. Jack Nicholson's
Thousands?
Axe. Yeah. Jack Nicholson's axe from The Shining went for $125,000. Wayne Knight's shaving cream used to smuggle dinosaurs went for $250,000.
I would pay $250,000 for that.
Bill Murray's red rose bowling ball from Kingpin went for $350,000. And Harrison Ford's whip from Temple of Doom went for $525,000.
There are too many rich people.
I'm a little surprised the Spider-Man suit didn't go for more, right?
Well, nobody it's hard to fit into
Maguire's.
That.
Put that thing on. I don't know.
you just let out more than you should have.
I'll put that thing on.
Thank you, Dave.
Alrighty.
So, Rach, we have a couple of mergers. We have McDonald's and Krispy Kreme.
Yes.
And Donald Trump and God. He's now selling Bibles, right?
That's what I saw on the internets earlier today. He is selling a Donald Trump endorsed Bible, whatever that means.
That's so weird.
Let me pull it up here.
This has not been the first time, though, right? He did this. Oh, maybe that was Don Jr. who was doing that. But I believe there were Trump Bibles.
$60. How much does the Bible cost? Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You can get a Bible from anywhere from like $5 to, I mean, a lot of people can get a Bible for free. Churches will hand them out. But then you can get some pretty...
Pansies.
Yeah, I didn't know how to describe it.
If you really love God.
I mean, like, I get it. Some of them are older or whatever, or they are,
have, like,
you know, big covers or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Outside, and you can get your name engraved.
Maybe this
into
is one
it.
Of those. I don't know. That's weird, man.
I don't like stuff like that. He's selling God Bless USA Bibles. And he says, religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. I truly believe we need to bring them back and have them brought back fast.
Does he go to church?
That's a good question, Wheels. I've never...
And he's changed MAGA slightly.
What's that?
Make America Pray Again.
Yes, yes. So
MAPA.
I just don't... I'm not a big fan of, like, hey, I'm doing a collab with a Bible company. Like, if you believe that that is the word of God, that is the scriptures... It
should
shouldn't
be enough.
Be, yeah, you don't need a celebrity endorsement.
Isn't that also... I'm asking this seriously. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Is that not sacrilegious?
I think it
is. If you're a very religious person, a regular person putting their brand on the Bible?
There's not a single human I can think of that can add to the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's either true or it's not. And if it's true, then how dare you put your endorsement on it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if it's him or not. I mean, that's kind of the same issue that, you know, I have with people, with the preachers who are millionaires and billionaires because they're preachers. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah. Rachel's telling the story about a Kurt Warner signed Bible or something like that?
Yeah, they were auctioning it off at my Christian school. And as a child,
signs a Bible?
And, you know, I could be remembering it wrong. Maybe it wasn't him. But it really bothered me at the time. And I said something and everyone was like, oh, calm down. It's fine. People would love to have this Bible. And I'm like, I don't want anyone autographing my Bible.
No.
Because then it's valuable because of the autograph, not because it's the word of God.
Weird.
Well put.